We seldom appreciate the fact that it's cheaper to do it right. It's cheaper to do it right. Ellen and I were just discussing how certain companies put out brochures and catalogs and magazines and all advertising their products. And they send this out in the mail, which is quite expensive. To print it up is quite expensive. To get a mailing list is quite expensive. And it really is quite a chore. And so when you do it yourself, when you try to do it yourself, you're spending more money because you're going through all the learning experiences of having it done. Whereas there are companies that are designed to do these promotional programs and to do these things and to do them beautifully and do them well and to do them effectively. Now, true, it could cost a lot of money, but if you really want to do it, you can go on Facebook or you could go on the internet and you could go there and do it all sorts of nice ways. But you're also greeting an audience that is maybe 100 times or 1,000,000 times more than you want. And you're having all these people be aware of what you're selling, and could you have a market? Could you produce enough to have it for all those people if they all of a sudden wanted to buy it? How are you going to market yourself? How are you going to take care of the things in your life? Well, there are many people who have dreams, many people who have wonders and desires. We've been thinking about putting some garage doors on our Oasis and making it a little fancier so that it's nicer for whoever's going to buy it. We're not thinking that we're necessarily going to get more money for it. We're just thinking that we're going to get what we ask for it because we value it and it is going to be worthy for whoever buys it. Have you ever thought of valuing something that you were wanting to sell? Most of the time, you want to sell it because you want to get rid of it, because you no longer have a need for it. You no longer love it. You no longer care about it. And the minute you sell something because you no longer have a need for it, no longer care about it, you're going to belittle it. You're going to put it down. You're going to make people think that it's not worth so much. You're going to make people think that you don't appreciate it. Now, Ellen has not had too much to do with the Oasis, primarily because we have 7 houses here. And we're quite busy with all of our houses, especially the houses that we live in. And the houses that we have for our seminar retreatants and for our people who come to visit campus and be part of the campus activity, we don't always know what's going on in there. We don't always know if the floor is swept. We don't always know if the windows are washed. We don't always know. And so, with so many like this, Ellen has to depend on other people. And so she takes her handyman and says, do this and do that. And she expects him to do it in the class that she would do it. And then she goes over and looks at the work that he's done. And she says, but you didn't do it the way I wanted you to do it. And he says, how did you want me to do it? I want you to do it so it looks real nice and so it looks, you know, just A1. Well, you didn't tell me that. You just told me to go over and do it and sort of makeshift. And Ellen says, I guess that's the way I did say it. That's because I didn't appreciate it, because I didn't really respect what I had. And so how can I ever respect what I have if I don't know what the value of it is, if I don't place a value on it? And the minute I place a value on it, then what happens? We were thinking of selling a piece of our property. We had it up, tried to give it a little attention for a while, and then real estate agents came, and they looked at it, and they said, oh, this will have to be done, and that will have to be done, and this will have to be done. And all these things that they said, well, we said, that's enough. We don't want to hear that. And so we sent them away. Not because they were wrong, not because they were bad, but because we didn't want to hear that. And then, after a while, we decided, well, let's just face it. Let's just face it. We would like to sell that one piece of property, the one little house, and we'd like to get as much money out of it as we put into it at least, and maybe a little benefit because values have gone up. And so we put on a little bit of value on it. And then we thought, well, now, that house was in a little better condition when we bought it so many years ago, and maybe not much, but a little better. And now, as the years have gone by, it just needed a little loving. And so Ellen said, you know, I think the garage doors in the Oasis should be replaced. I think they should be looking much nicer. I think we should put a tile down in the bathroom that serves the garage, and we should do this, and we should... And all of a sudden, she started to think all these beautiful things. And then, as she's doing these, then she's saying, you know, what would make the porch more beautiful? Ah, yes, if it were light, not a dark porch. So you go there and you feel you're going into a dark hallway. But it should be light and cheery. And what would you do? Well, you'd paint the ceiling of the porch. And my goodness, you know, that it's going to be so nice. Why do we want to sell it? And of course, that's the issue. When you have things so nice that you don't want to sell it, that's the time to sell it. Because that's the time you love it. That's the time everyone comes there and says, what a lovely house. What a lovely place. What a lovely thing. This is what people should do. People have come to the University of Healing over the years, since 1975 here in Campo. And as they have come here, they have all said, this is so peaceful. They've all said, this philosophy, this teaching is so maximum, so beautiful, so wonderful. And Ellen has always been very much in charge and always been on top of everything. And she says, why is it so lovable? Why is the teaching so lovable? Why is the philosophy so lovable? And then she came to the conclusion, because we are lovable. We believe in it. We live it. We fulfill it. And no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens as other people want us to play the game according to their rules, we don't do that. We play a game according to our rules of being unconditionally loving, of being fair and treating everybody with the same amount of appreciation that we would like to have ourselves treated with the appreciation. And the only way we can do it is that if we're going to sell something, polish it up. And then if you really polish it up, then you don't want to sell it. And that's the point where you can sell it the best. Then the next step is, once you have made it so beautiful, so wonderful that you just love it, then release it.
Yeah.
And you see, if you don't release it, you will never be able to sell it. Right. If you don't let it go, then no matter who comes along, they're not going to be able to have it. Because you think that this car is so good, you want to take such good care of it. You think this house is so wonderful, you want to take such good care of it. Ellen lives in the in the embassy, and she has this beautiful multi-bedroomed house there, lovely cathedral ceilings virtually throughout, and it's just glorious. And when Ellen first moved in there, she thought, I don't want to live here in this big house. My goodness sakes, what am I going to do in this big house? And then, after she's been there now a number of years, the big house has gotten smaller because it's a house that's lived in. Every room is a treasure. Every room is a place where she feeds her cats, and she lives with her two cats, and she is so happy. And you can come day or night, and you'll see her sitting at her desk working there. You come day or night, you see her sitting in her bedroom, sitting there in her easy chair, reading or studying or meditating, and the cats all surrounding her. You see her in the living room on the easy chairs. You see her out in the garden, pulling weeds or clipping her roses or doing things and seeing how more beautifully she can design her own garden and her own house. And when she goes in town, what does she do? She says, this is my car. This is my white Expedition. And so she takes it in for a laundry. She takes it in for a wash job because she appreciates her car. It's from 1999, but she appreciates it, and she loves it, and she feels that it is just beautiful. Now, that car is serviced whenever the service is called for. That car is treated with love and gentleness, and even though it's an older car, it's still new in virtually every way. The leather we put in for the seats is still as perfect as can be. And everything is very, very glorious. And that's just the way it should be. But that's only because of one thing. That's because Ellen loved it. Now, if Ellen were to sell it, the market, the Blue Book, wouldn't give her one little bit of what she knows its value is. So she continues using it, enjoying it, keeping it in ideal condition, and loving it every moment. Maybe we're not here to sell things. Maybe we're here to delight in them and appreciate them and respect them and love them. Whenever you love something and you love everything, then remember, you don't want to do it yourself. You let somebody else do it. You make it beautiful, but you let somebody else sell it because you will always be holding on to it. You'll always be saying, that's my car, my house, that's my cat, that's my dog, that's my life. And is that what you want? Well, if you want to ever release anything, then let it go. Have a lovely day and do these things in the perfect way, and you'll find that you can do it. And as you love anything, you will give it your very best, and it'll live on forever in beautiful ideas of perpetuity. I love you, I love you, I love you. Super, super.